current events, they can go to another church. Amen. I'm going to preach the word. Praise God. Amen. Hector, it's good to see you. Been missing you. Y'all coming over to the house? Good. Amen. I'm still looking for some of that Honduran food, you know. Praise God. Isaiah 59, Exodus 2, and Psalm 102. I'll give a little bit of time turning between them. But Isaiah 59, right at the very beginning, first two verses, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear." I'm going to repeat that one. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Amen. He's able to save. He's able to hear. Amen. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Exodus chapter number 2, beginning with verse number 23. "And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them." Amen. Psalm 102, beginning at verse number 15. Psalm 102, 15. "So the heathen," that is the Gentiles, "the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, and despise and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem." Amen. Tells us in Exodus 2 that by reason of their bondage they sighed and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of their bondage, and God heard their groaning. Bible says that he will hear the prayer of the destitute, not despise their prayer. "And this shall be written for the generation to come, the people which shall be created." I believe that's speaking of the church. At the time this was written, there was no church. There was a covenant with the people of Abraham, but he said, "This is written for a generation to come. This is written for the people which shall be created. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise the prayer." Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like to preach with the help of the Lord on this subject, the cry of bondage and the God of hope. The cry of bondage and the God of hope. Can we put our Bibles down? Let's pray together. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Amen. Precious Savior, Lord God, we come here, God, today because we need you. Lord Jesus, we need you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I pray, God, for your accompanying power.
anointing, your presence. Dear God, hallelujah, Lord Jesus, help me, God. Anoint me, God, to deliver, God, this message you placed on my heart, God, for this service. Help us, Lord, to receive it, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, help us, God, to get it down in our hearts. I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, we love and praise you. Could we just worship the Lord together? Lift your hands, your voices to Him. Let's love the Lord together. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah for your goodness. God, for your wonderful works to the children of men. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated this morning. Amen. The cry of bondage in the God of hope. Amen. Praise God. Our God is all powerful. Amen. Scripture calls Him the Almighty. Praise God. There's nothing, nothing that our God cannot do. He alone spoke the worlds into existence, and by that same word, He holds all of His creation in its balance and its order, keeps the earth rotating just the way that it was designed to, has the tide go in and out. Amen. He upholds all things by the word of His power, according to the Scripture. Amen. He's also all-knowing. There's nothing that His eye does not see. Not one thing escapes the grasp of God. The complexity of human life, the unsearchable physical laws of this universe, still the subject of research and the expending of trillions of dollars across the world, are not only known by Him, He created them. Amen. They're really His intellectual property. And not only does He know these things, but He also knows, amen, the very numbers of the hair upon your head. He knows and sees every time a sparrow falls to the ground. He knows, the Bible says, our thoughts are far off. And He knows what you have need of, even before you mention it, even before really you think about it. And so when and if we pray, we pray to a God who knows what we need and who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that our poor minds could even think up, amen, or ask. Praise God. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save, and His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Our God is able, amen, to do everything, praise God, that He desires to do. He is more than able. Amen. Praise God. Yes, He is. Yet our sin can and will separate us from God. Amen. And from God hearing and answering our prayer. Sin can and does put up a barrier to God. There are times that sin will stop God's ears, if you will, and handcuff the Almighty. Amen. From answering our prayers. Sin will stop answers to prayers in their tracks. Sin will freeze up the river of God's blessing that He would like to flow into our lives. Sin will stymie the very will of God. And at that time, those times, amen, that our sins stop up heaven, that our sins keep prayers from coming, from being answered and even heard, amen, during those periods of time, there's only one answer for that, for our dilemma, and that is to fall upon our face in sincere repentance before God. Amen. As James said, to draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Amen. Praise God. If sin separates us from God, amen, and heaven seem as brass, because of it. Amen. I'm here to tell you that there is an answer. Amen. And that is just to fall upon your knees and to get right with God. Amen. And to pray to God and ask His forgiveness. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you, praise God, whether you've been living for God for a long time or just a short time or not at all. Amen. A prayer of repentance is always a heard prayer. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I feel like God, amen, desires to tell us something today. Praise God. I feel like God wants us to understand something. If you've got sin, amen, we need to get rid of sin. But I'm not just come really to preach about that, although that is part of this message. Amen. I do have a message that's beyond that. And I've entitled the message, The Cry of Bondage and the God of Hope. Praise the Lord. Amen. You see, while God cannot and will not hear the prayers of a sinner, He will hear their cry of bondage. He will hear their desperate prayer for deliverance. He'll regard that kind of prayer of the destitute. And He'll move heaven and earth to save someone who wants to be saved from the bondage of sin. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, God will come down. If you've got a desire to live for God, you can make heaven your home. If you've got a desire, amen, to love God, amen, you'll be able to love Him. Amen. I don't believe that there's anything wrong with any one of us. Amen. I have seen people struggle in trying to live for God, up and down, in and out. Amen. And feel like that they just can't really get it, and there must be something wrong with them. I've come to tell you, amen, that if you're believing that, you're believing a lie from the devil. Amen. I believe that you have got everything, amen, at your disposal in God. Praise God to live victorious in Christ Jesus. Amen. To make heaven your home. Praise God. To please God. To hear Him say one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. You've got it. Amen. Because God has given it to you. And if you want, all you really need is a desire to live for God and to please God. Amen. And God provides everything that we need. Amen. To make it. Praise the Lord. Now, I feel like I'm preaching through a cloud or something. Amen. And folks are just, amen. Brother Halstead's about ready to go to sleep. Amen. I'm going to wake him up. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I feel like I'm preaching through. I want to bust through the cloud today. Amen. I want to get us, amen, into the place, amen, where we're feeling the presence of God and God is moving. Amen. And amen. Praise God. The Word of God needs to be a hammer. Amen. Breaking up the fallow ground of our heart today. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I want God to come into this place. I want God to move in this place. I cannot manufacture a move of God. Amen. But I could pray and I could preach. Amen. And I could ask God. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel like God wants to do something. God wants to set somebody that's in bondage today free. Amen. God wants to break shackles today. God wants to help somebody in this service. Amen. Praise God. I'd like for somebody that's filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want you to be on the edge of your seat and praying. And amen. Hallelujah. Feeling after God and moving with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that we need a move of God in this place today. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel like we need to break through some things today. Amen. We need to break through. You need to break through in your spirit. Amen. You need to reach out after God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Why don't you just press through just a little bit right now? Amen. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. Reach out after God. Hallelujah. Oh, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. Somebody needs to reach out. Praise God. If you're expecting the preacher to do it all, amen, I've got another thing coming to you. Amen. You really need to get hold of it. Praise God yourself. Amen. This is one of those services you're going to need to pull it out. Amen. You know, you're going to need to want it. Amen. Hallelujah. The devil's trying to fight it. I'm here to tell you that God wants to do something that's beyond what you can ask or think right now. Reach for Him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Somebody needs to lift your voice. I ain't even moving on with this message. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to lift your voice. Reach out after God. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Oh, precious God. Precious God. Come on, a little bit more. Come on, press. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Children of Israel were there in bondage in Egypt. There arose a king that knew not Joseph and did not desire to keep those covenants that had been made with the people of Israel. And they were put under bondage, and they had cruel taskmasters over them. And they were made to make brick in the hot sun. They were a royal people. Amen. Hallelujah. They were indeed the people of God. And still they were there in a place of bondage. When you take a look, there was really no sin that I could see, no overwhelming thing that they had done that had caused them to go into bondage. They had gone down there because of a drought. I feel like it was God's will, in fact, for them to be restored as a family when Joseph was in Egypt. And God meant it for good to save many people alive. But they were there, and they ended up going into the bondage of cruel slavery. And so the cry of those people came up unto God, amen, by reason of their bondage. And there's something about a people in bondage that it moves the heart of God. Amen. And these were His people. And God, the Bible says, heard their groaning. And God remembered His covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. Could I tell you that God, amen, keeps His promises. Amen. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Praise God. Whose report will you believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. Amen. If God's report says that I can be set free, amen, and the Word of God can make me free, amen, I believe it. Amen. If the Word of God says the gift of the Holy Ghost is for you, amen, and whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. I'm here to tell you that it is yours if you want it. Praise God. If the Word of God says that you can be healed, amen, in a moment's time, I believe the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God does keep His promises. And so He heard the cry, amen, and groaning of the people. And because of their bondage, and He heard that, and He looked down, the Bible said, upon the children of Israel, and He had respect unto them. He took note of them. There was a desperation in their cry. Amen. And could I tell you, my friend, if you are in bondage to anything, if you're in bondage to sin, in bondage to particular things, maybe that you are addicted to, maybe you are in bondage to doubt, amen, and unbelief. And there may be things that just seem to trip you up all the time and come against against you. I'm here to tell you, amen, that if you have got a cry of desperation, that is your best prayer, my friend. Amen. Because God will hear a cry of desperation. There's some folks that they approach God and they just don't, they just want, well, you know what, that's so very undignified the way that those folks, you know, the tears streaming down their face, and I'm just afraid to even, I won't even go up to the front of the church because I'm afraid of what people will think, amen, and you'll just allow that, amen, to keep you from crying out to God, a God that can hear your very prayer, a God that can answer every prayer, amen. I'm here to tell you that God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you ask or think, amen. If you just sit there and allow pride to steal it from you, amen, you'll not get anywhere. But if you will have a desperate cry from your heart, amen, I'm here to tell you that God hears that kind of prayer. Amen. So it was a cry of bondage, and the God of hope looked down upon them and had respect unto them. And then think of a story about a man by the name of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was blind. There in a society when they did not have Braille, they did not have seeing eye dogs, they did not have special things at the local ATM to where you could figure out and how to get some money. No, he was really reduced to being a beggar, if you will. His entire life was a shambles because of his condition in their society. And he had heard about Jesus, though. And there's not a single person here that has not heard something about Jesus. It seems like it's very rare. I did meet one person one time in a park when I was out just witnessing. Me and a young man, amen, were just out. Well, let's go witness to these guys over there. And so we went and witnessed to them in the park. And one of them, I mentioned, you really ought to come to our church. And he said, well, what's a church? And in questioning him, I recognized that he was serious. He had no concept of what a church was. Such was his life. Amen. And environment, he really just, he was caught up in just the daily struggle and the drug life, and his parents were all involved in that kind of thing, and they had never taken him to church, never mentioned church. He didn't know anything, and he had maybe heard something about Jesus, and there was somebody else there that didn't even know the name of Jesus, and we're talking here in California. But I'd venture to say everyone here has heard the name. And Bartimaeus had heard the name, and he had heard the stories, and he had heard the miracles that had been done, and how he could take just a lunch and feed 5,000 men plus women and children, and how he was one that could do something, amen, in the lives of people that were destitute. And he was thinking, I don't know anybody that's more destitute than me right now, amen. And so when he had heard this particular day that Jesus was coming down his dusty road, amen, when he heard the crowd get a little bit closer, amen, and he knew that he was within hailing distance of the Messiah, amen, he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, amen. And you know what, that they acted a little bit around him like some folks would do in some churches and say, hey, you just need to quiet down, put your hands down, you're making kind of a scene and everything. But you know what? Amen. I just would to God that somebody would get a desperation in their voice. Amen. Because God, amen, the God of hope, amen, is coming down your dusty road. Amen. He wants to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 And I'm here to tell you, amen, that when they tried to hush him up and quiet him down. Amen. He might have just gotten the image in his mind. Well, you know what? I guess I am being an embarrassment. I guess, you know, and he could have just quieted down and everything. But no, he knew that Jesus was coming down his road. Amen. And he cried out yet the more. Amen. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Hush up. Stop all of that. Somebody might have tried to cover his mouth, and he just bit their finger. Amen. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Could I tell you that it got the Lord's attention? Could I tell you that Jesus stopped the whole procession? Amen. And he called for him. He said, bring that man to me. And it's okay now. It's okay now. Hush up. He's still screaming. Amen. Hush up. He's calling for you. Amen. Nicodemus. Christ said, Nicodemus, help me, Jesus. Bartimaeus, three syllables, whatever it is for. I don't know. Amen. I only had one cup of coffee today, so I'm not quite yet awake. Amen. Praise God. Bartimaeus, he took his cloak that he was wearing, and he cast it from him. And he went to see Jesus. And say, well, what's the significance? I mean, he's in the big crowd. He's going to lose his coat. He just casts it aside and goes. You see, he wanted to lose the coat. You do a little study and reading on that. There was a coat that he would wear that would identify him as a beggar. And because of his condition, he was reduced to being a beggar. He could not do anything about it. He was just he was a beggar. But there was something when he knew that he got hold of Jesus. He knew he got hold of the attention of the one that fed the 5,000, of the one, amen, that had worked miracles, of the one that it was reported he had raised somebody from the dead. Surely, amen, he could do something for me. Amen. He had cried out a cry of destitution, a cry of bondage. He was in bondage to his condition. And you know what he said? He said, you know what? I'm not going to need this coat anymore. Amen. I'm not going to need it anymore. I'm going to go to Jesus. Amen. So he cast it aside and he went. You know what? There's some things you don't need anymore. Amen. You don't need a bottle anymore. You don't need drugs anymore. You don't need those things, amen, that people gather around them to try to help themselves. Amen. I'm here to tell you, he who the Son has set free is free. Indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Our God is powerful. And he hears the cry of the destitute. Our scripture in Psalm 102 said that said, so shall the heathen or the Gentiles fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. I believe that that's a direct reference to Jesus Christ. Amen. Coming. Amen. Building the church. He said, amen. Bible says that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And it's, and Zion has been called the church. Amen. Praise God. Hebrews chapter number 12. And so we can read, amen, in the Bible and see the Lord at this time that he calls the heathen. Amen. And they will fear the Lord. The Lord will build up Zion. He'll build up his church and he'll appear in his glory. Amen. Praise God. And he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Amen. He'll hear the prayer of the one, amen, that is in bondage to sin and in bondage and in slavery to the things of this world. He'll not despise their prayer. While his ear might be stopped, amen, because of sin, it will not be stopped, amen, when a sinner cries a prayer, amen, out of their bondage, amen, a prayer of desperation. Amen. God is there to hear and to regard their prayer. Amen. God is wanting, amen, to come down, amen, and minister to those that are in bondage. He's wanting to come, amen, and amen, bring people out of the beggarly elements of sin. Give them hope in their hearts. Amen. Give them hope in their hearts. Yes, he is. Wanting to do that. He said, what I just said, it shall be written for the generation to come, which shall be created. The people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. Amen. God looked down, amen, to see us. Bible says he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven, the Lord, did the Lord behold the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner and to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and praise in Jerusalem. I feel like he's here today to hear our prayers. Jesus, amen, in Luke chapter number 4, when he went to the synagogue as it was his custom, and he stood up to read on the Sabbath day, they delivered the book of Isaiah to him, and he looked for and found a place in the book, and he began to read prophecy regarding himself. It was written 740 years before he ever was even born. Amen. But here he was reading the scripture that had been penned centuries before regarding himself. Could I tell you that God's been looking down from heaven for a long time? God has been looking upon the desperation of man for a long time. Amen. And he prepared a plan. Amen. He made a plan. Amen. In the Greek, it's called the Logos. Amen. And he came and he robed himself in flesh to come and to walk upon the earth to redeem them that were in bondage all their lifetime, subject to bondage. Amen. It was the plan from before the foundation of the earth. That's why the Bible says Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. It's not because he existed, amen, physically, amen, but it's because it was in the mind of God. Because he looked down, amen, through the eons of time. He saw you in your situation. He saw broken homes in the year 2010. He saw people, amen, that were in desperate need of a Savior. And he came down and robed himself in flesh. And here we find him reading in Luke chapter number 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, gave it again to the minister, and he turned to them all and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Amen. I'm here today to tell you that he's still preaching, amen, the message of deliverance. He's still here to heal the brokenhearted. Amen. He's still to set at liberty them that are bruised. He is still here today to do all of those things. Amen. To hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed unto death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion. He is here. Amen. He desires to save those that are in bondage to sin. Story is told in John chapter number 4 of a woman, and if I could just say it without being crude or anything, she was a mess. The woman was a mess. And we don't really know everything about her, just a little bit what's revealed in the story. But in this chapter, the Bible tells us that as they were going up toward Galilee from Jerusalem, that Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. We've got to go through Samaria. And we've talked about it before. That was a very unusual move because the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And he was doing something that was not customary, but he said, I've got to go through Samaria. And the Bible tells us that while he got to a well, and there they were at the well, didn't have anything to draw with, but Jesus said, you know, I think I'm just going to kind of wait here by the well. And why don't you guys go buy groceries? Now, I kind of like nowadays, my daughter can go get groceries. She's got a car. Amen. She's got money. She can even pay for the groceries sometimes. Praise God. Appreciate that. Amen. Hallelujah. And but it doesn't take a whole entourage to buy groceries for four people. Amen. One person can do it. One or two could buy certainly easily for 13 men. I would think, but Jesus sent 12 men to buy groceries for 13. I think he just wanted to have a little time with a woman that was desperate. He knows all things and he looks down and he hears. I wonder how many times this woman in her sin, in her misery, locked in, locked up tight in her lifestyle. How many times she cried out unto God. She knew something of the scripture because she actually speaks of it some with him. She knows a little bit of theology. And she shares it with him. But when she came to the well, Jesus asked her for a drink. And so she goes to, he said, give me to drink. And she begins a conversation. How is it that you're asking me a drink, seeing the Jews have no business with dealings with the Samaritans? And he said, you know what, when you're witnessing, by the way, you can use just about anything to open up a door to talk to a hungry person. He just asked for a drink. They're at a well, there's water there. Just give me a drink. And do you good to just open your mouth and talk to somebody. And see what happens. But all he needed was an open door. And she said, well, why is it that you are asking me? And he said, if you knew who it was talking to you, you'd ask of him for a drink. And he'd give you living water. She's like, well, where are you going to get this living water? The well's deep and you have nothing to draw with. He begins to talk to her about this living water. Amen. Water that could spring up. Amen. That you'll never go thirsty. And she began to realize that he was talking something more than just about water.
And she went on in the conversation with Jesus. Let me find it. She said, "How is it?" She said, "Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well?" And he said, "Whosoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But it shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." I'll tell you, something tripped over in this woman's heart when she heard that. And she said, "Sir, give me this water. Give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." You see, she was a woman that had a horrible reputation. She had been with several men. She was despised by those that were around her in her society. She came not at the normal time to draw water, where all of the women would come at one time to get the needs of the day, twice a day, but she came, it seemed, at noon, in the heat of the day, in the middle of the day, because no one else would be around. She did not want to be around those folks and hear those little whispered remarks about her. Amen. She was a woman that was a destitute woman. And so she said, "Give me that water. I don't even want to come here anymore if I don't have to. Amen. I would just as soon, have something that is as close as myself. Amen. Springing up into everlasting life. Would you give me this water?" And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband." Now, why do I need a husband for this water? Go call your husband. She said, "Well, sir, I have no husband." And he said, "Rightly, you've said you have no husband, because you've had five. And the one you're with now isn't your husband." She immediately perceived this was not just a casual conversation at a well. She saw this as, she said, "I perceive you're a prophet." And so she changed the subject. See, I have a lot of averted eyes in the house right now. Amen. People looking down. Dun, 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 dun. Amen. But God's talking to you. And he was talking to her. She had desperation. I feel certain that she had cried out to God several times. And so Jesus said, "Well, I've got to go through Jerusalem, or through Samaria." And so there he was. He called her right. He told her exactly what was going on in her life. And do you know what she did when she understood and perceived that he was a prophet? That this was not just a normal man, but he's talking to me. You know what she did? She changed the subject. Because it was uncomfortable. Could I tell you that you could cry out to God, call out to God, reach out after God, and God will send you an answer. Because he does. And he has sent answers to people, and they did not recognize the day of their visitation. And let me tell you something. When it gets uncomfortable, that's not a time to change subjects. That's not a time. When the preaching gets uncomfortable and it seems to be hitting home, that's not the time to just look at the fabric on the pew and say, "Hey, you know, I never noticed those are kind of yellow dots." Oh, somebody wrote on the side of that songbook. Oh, look, there's a little scratch in that pew. get your mind on all kinds of other things, but God's talking. And so she said, well, hey, I have my favorite theological question. Considering you're a prophet, surely you wouldn't mind answering me. You know, the Jews say that we ought to worship there, and we say that we ought to worship here, and what do you think? And he talked about truth. He said, you don't even know what you worship. Salvations of the Jews. But let me tell you, the hour comes and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That means with all their heart and in sincerity, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And the woman said, and I feel like Jesus was setting her up, the woman said, well, I know Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and when he comes, he'll set the record straight. You have your opinion, we have our opinion. And Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am he. Then his disciples came. They couldn't believe he was speaking with this woman. But this woman was gone now. She had run back to the city. She was publishing, telling everybody, come see a man who told me all things. Surely this is the Christ. Could I tell you something? Amen. There's two stories at the end of that passage right there. The disciples came and said, hey, Master, we don't know why you were talking with that woman. That was really a wrong thing to do. Amen. But here, we bought some food. Eat. And he said, I have meat you know not of. Could I tell you that God desires, amen, to reach and to heal and to hear the groaning, amen, that comes up by reason of bondage. Amen. People that are lost in sin, destitute. In the ways of the world, he longs, he desires greatly to come and to make a difference in people's individual lives, in their families, to heal and to restore. So great is the love of God that he gave. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He came in flesh that he might die and pay the price for our sins so that he could cover us. Amen. Hallelujah. So that he could fill us with his spirit. Amen. He loves us that much. And so he said, I'm telling you, don't say there's 4 months and then comes the harvest. Look out at the field. There's hungry people out there and I want to reach them. He does not want us, church, by the way, amen, sitting on our laurels, amen, not doing anything when a world is lost and going to hell. He wants us to talk to somebody and tell somebody and let somebody know that Jesus is still in the healing business. Jesus is still in the saving business. Jesus still breaks chains. Jesus still sets people free. He still gives people hope. And then the Bible tells us that that woman went and she, who no one would listen to before, she who no one would pay any attention to before. She was an outcast of society and no one would listen to her. She emptied out the city to go out into the wilderness by the well and listen to this man. They knew something had happened to her. They knew, amen, that there had been a change. Could I tell you, when God starts setting people free, amen, folks will take notice. Amen. When habits, amen, and addictions are broken, amen, drug addicts set free. They used to shoot up with needles. They used to work, amen, their own little deals, amen, and make their own, amen. They had their own meth labs, and all of a sudden, they're a witnessing machine. They're out there. He used to be a drive-by shooter. Amen. I remember him when his pants were hanging way down here. Amen. Look at him now. There's a change in him. Amen. I'm here to tell you, people will take notice. Amen. Talking about the cry of bondage and the God of hope.
Every one of us were at least at one time in bondage. Whether we're some folks in the church, go back. Paul wrote to the Galatian church. Amen. Churches of Galatia. He wrote to them because they had been saved out of bondage, but they were going back into bondage. Amen. And he was trying to get hold of them and keep them from going that direction. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, amen, Jesus can break any bond. Amen. Jesus can break any bond. Young's literal translation of Hebrews 2:14 and 15. And I ended up by going to the literal translation. I ended up getting a little bit of insight on this verse that has always kind of bugged me. I didn't really feel like I was getting everything out of it. Amen. And this helped. It says, seeing then the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself also in like manner did take part of the same. That's Jesus. That through death he might destroy him having the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those who with fear of death throughout all their life were subjects of bondage. And this verse seems to tell me that Jesus came, that through the power of death, through the power of the shedding of his blood, through the power of the cross, he came to destroy, amen, the devil, amen, that holds people in bondage. Amen. He came to destroy him that had the power of death, and that he might deliver those who, with the fear of death, those that always had the fear of death upon them, throughout all their life were subjects of bondage. Not just because of the fear of death, amen, but that was another thing, amen. They did not know what lay beyond this life. They may have been taught something. They may have gotten a catechism at one time or another, but they knew that they weren't really where they needed to be. They did not have a relationship with God, amen, that was really right with God. And so they go through life and they don't understand. And they lie. And I've done it myself. I remember just as a 20-year-old man and younger, amen, I remember lying there upon my bed there in the Marine barracks and crying tears that no one could see and wondering if there was anything beyond this life. And I knew that I was a afraid, amen, to die. I was afraid of anything that might come my way because I knew that I don't have the answers and I was afraid. I would put it away from me and I would not think about it for a while, amen, but it would come back every once in a while. It would come back in the wee hours of the morning when no one was looking, amen. But you see, it was because I was in bondage to all kinds of things. I was shooting up, amen. I was smoking dope. I was drinking. I was involved in all kinds of immorality, amen. And my life was a mess. I might have had a happy face at times, but I was miserable on the inside. No, I had happy times. I had times I smiled. I went to Disneyland and had a good time. But when no one was around, and I'd allow my mind to go to those things, I was a mess. I thank the Lord that God somehow looked down upon this man. I didn't know him. I remember the day. It was October 1st, 1978. I'd gone to Knott's Berry Farm that day. I was on my third day of an acid trip. I'd been awake for 3 days. And I remember driving. I was the guy with the car. I remember driving that day, and it began to rain a little bit. We were driving down toward Huntington Beach to go to another party. And I remember hallucinating, and all of a sudden it seemed like the car was going straight up. And it scared me because it seemed so real. And I went to shift to compensate, and all of a sudden it looked like we were going straight down. And I could not determine what was real and what was not real. Let me tell you, that's a frightening thing when you have no idea and you're driving a car, you don't know what's real and what's not real. I was scared. And I tried shifting, and then in the hallucination, my stick shift literally became like a rubber thing, and I couldn't do anything with it. It was like a piece of spaghetti or something. And so I didn't know what to do, and I thought, I've got to get out of here. And I went and opened the door of my car at about 90 miles an hour in the fast lane, going by Disneyland, a little past it. And I started to dump myself out on the road. And I heard an audible voice yell, "Don't." Scared me. I knew it wasn't any of these guys, and I pulled the door shut again. Somehow I was sober. I wasn't hallucinating anymore, even though I had been for 3 days. Got to Huntington Beach. Everyone went over to the party. They handed me a beer, and I thought, you know what? I can't be around this. I remember going to the beach and put my back up against a pole. Just a wooden pole that held up a lifeguard station. And I remember pouring that beer out in the sand, crying, "God, if there's a God out there, there's got to be a better life than this." Could I tell you, He heard that cry. I'm not talking about somebody else, I'm talking about me. I had been doing cocaine, shooting it up in my arms. I'd been doing speed. I'd been doing acid. I'd been doing hashish. I'd been dealing. I was one of those crazy people that would take a bottle and tip it all the way up and empty it. And October 1st, 1978, was the last time I did any of those things. He took it away right then. I told the doctor all the things that I had done. He said, "Well, what program did you go to?" He said, "It's unheard of to do all of that." And then just really, I said, I didn't go through a program. God just delivered me one day. He said, "You should write a book." And could I tell you, God worked a miracle. After that, I got trained, and I know I'm taking a little bit of time, but I got trained to fix helicopters while I was there. Avionics, electronics, and helicopters. And you got to choose what base you would go to, at least, you know, if it was open, you would get your choice. If it wasn't open, you'd go someplace else. And I had a friend of mine I feel like God just put it in my heart. When I went in the Marine Corps with, he wasn't in church or anything to that nature. He was at this other base in Beaufort, South Carolina. And I said, I want to go to that base. And they said, well, you that's not on the list. You can't go to that base because that's a fixed wing station. They don't have helicopters there. We trained you on helicopters. You're going to a helicopter base. So pick another base. I said, I'm not picking another base. I'm picking that base. And they said, you're just wasting your selection because you can't do that. No one has ever gone from, I was told, no one has ever gone from this base to that base because you're trained. I was at a helicopter station. You're trained on helicopters. I learned to fix helicopters. Why would we send you to go work on jets when you don't know how to work on jets? And so no. And I said, no, I'm keeping it that way. I don't know why I was adamant. I feel like it was the Holy Ghost, even though I didn't have the Holy Ghost. God was leading me. Why? Because he had heard the cry of desperation. He had heard the cry of bondage. Amen. And he could not ignore that cry. And so orders came in and there were four people that were trained on helicopters that went to that base. I was the only one that selected it, but four of us went. Amen. We went to a station and I started working on jets without the training. Amen. And the very first day that I got there, I remember the day. It was January 8th, 2009. I remember driving onto the base, went through the whole little process where you go through the gate. Initially, amen, I was going to get a sticker for my car, amen, when I got in, my friend met me, and he said, hey, I want to introduce you to somebody, and what he did was he introduced me my very first day, he introduced me to a Holy Ghost filled, Jesus name baptized preacher, amen, hallelujah, that God had called out of darkness and into his marvelous light, and I shook his hand, and one of the first things he did, he said, you're going to need to come to my church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I went to that church I was promised. I put it off for a while and then somebody said, hey, you really, he promised that he would take me. And so I ended up going, didn't really like the service. I thought they were all kind of weird. Amen. They said, how do you like it? And I lied. I said, oh, I like it. It was really nice. And I was thinking these people are crazy. Amen. I'm not comfortable around all of the antics. Amen. And that guy up at the platform, he keeps looking at me. I don't really care about that guy. Amen. But he sure does play mean guitar. Amen. But you know, I don't know about all of this. Amen. But I kept on coming. Amen. And after a while, I saw through all of that, all of the antics and everything. And I saw that these people had a relationship with God and it was something that I needed, and that was just one day, amen. What I did was I began to feel the presence of God for the very first time. They were really ready to give up on me, amen, and stop even talking to me about it, amen, because it seemed like I'd come and I'd never make a line to the altar. I'd never come down, but I began to feel the power of the Holy Ghost, and I came down and I repented of my sins. A little while later, I was baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. And then God filled me. Amen. 364 days. One day less than a year after I poured that beer out. Amen. On Huntington Beach and cried out to God. One day less than a year. He filled me with a wonderful baptism of the Holy Ghost. I spoke with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave me utterance. Amen. And I was a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And it's because he hears the cry of bondage. And he's a God of hope. Let's worship the Lord for a moment. Let's worship him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, I love you. 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 I have more, but I'm done. Let's stand in the house of the Lord. Bible tells us that, tells me what I was before I came to God. I was Galatians 4 and 3 in bondage under the elements of the world. Bible tells us in Ephesians 2 that at that time we were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. I was in bondage under the elements of the world, but the very next verse in Galatians says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God set forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that we're under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God has set forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Father. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Paul wrote to the Romans, we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Could I tell you today, that God hears those cries of bondage. Just as He heard Bartimaeus. Jesus, thou son of David. Just as He heard the cry of the woman of Samaria. Just as with no one else around, He heard the cry of a 20-year-old, 19-year-old really, Marine, as he poured out his beer in the sand. Every head bowed, every eye closed in the house of the Lord this morning. With no one looking around, please. This is just between you and God. I'm not even looking. But if God's talked to you, I just want you to lift your hand in the air with no one looking. Just lift it up a little bit to acknowledge to the Lord, God, there is a cry in my heart. It might not be quite the same as that preacher's, but God, there's a cry. Would you help me? Would you lead me? I want to learn of you. I want to know of you. Everyone, would you lift your hands to God and let's just pray. Everybody in the house, reach out after God. Reach out after Him. Oh, He can do exceeding and abundantly above all you ask of Him. I'd like to invite you, if you'd like to come, be one of the first to come on down to the front here and just pray and reach out after God. Amen. Hallelujah. If
If you'd like to come, come ahead. Why doesn't everybody find a place? Amen. Around here at the front. Amen. Just reach out after God. Talk to Him. He hears your cry. He hears your cry. He hears your cry. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, you've got. If you just want to cry out to Him right now, just go ahead and cry out to Him. God, I need you. I need you, Lord. I need you. I need you. I need you. Oh, Jesus, would you reach out? Lift your heart, your hands, your voice to Him. God, I need you. I feel my need of you. Yes.